smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
Welcome to the Good Dog Podcast. Many years ago in Oakland, California, my dog Ziggy and I were volunteers with an organization called the Friendship Foundation. We would go and visit people in hospitals, sometimes children, and I have some really particular memories that I will share of putting Ziggy's little furry body right up to the face of a burn victim who just had this one little patch of area that hadn't been burned on her cheek, and watching her eyes fill up with tears. It was an incredibly gratifying thing to do with my dog, and I know that there are many people everywhere who have therapy dogs. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Good Dog Podcast, where today my guest is Diane Bell, manager of the Pet Partners Program for the Delta Society. Welcome, Diane.
Well, thank you, Joanne. It's glad to be a part of this. Thank you.
Sure. Now, Delta Society's been around for more than 30 years doing this sort of work. Tell me about its origins.
Yeah, Delta was actually founded, like you said, founded in 1977 in Portland, Oregon, and it actually came to be from professionals and academics from the veterinarian human health fields who strongly believe that animals have the power to heal.
We know this from personal experience, although science does now prove it, that often when you bring a dog into a hospital setting, you actually see vital signs improve, that dogs can lower blood pressure, slow heart rate, things like that. But those of us who have dogs know this, right?
Oh, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
We know absolutely. It intuitively. So what actually does the Delta Society do?
Well, Delta Society, if I even can back up a little bit, in the early years, Delta's focused on the first credible research on why animals are important to the general population and specifically how they affect health and well-being. And from that, then in the early or late 1980s and early 1990, from other volunteer groups throughout the United States that were already providing visits into nursing homes, other type of facilities, they were looking for some national standards so that we could open more doors into more facilities, and particularly your hospitals and and working with children. So they came to Delta and actually said, well, because you were behind this research, that at that point, Delta pulled all these different people together, and we then developed the Pet Partner Team training course that's based on standards of practice.
So are the standards for the people or for the dogs or both?
It's actually for both. It's for both ends of the leash, as well as the standards for the facility. So the facility really has a clear understanding of what they need to have in place before having any handler and animals coming into their type of setting.
So what kind of things, what kind of traits do you look for in a dog that makes a dog a good candidate to be a therapy dog and part of a pet partner volunteer team?
We look for a dog that has that's friendly, social, likes to be engaged with people, and doesn't necessarily have to be, a purebred or a, as long as they have those kind of characteristics, that's they make a wonderful candidate to share their love with, various populations.
Are there instances where people really want their dogs to be therapy dogs and you have to say, you know what, he or she just doesn't make the grade?
Yes, and that's why we really want people to really, identify and then look at, really know their animal really well, to really see where their animal really excels and where they may have some areas that they may be able to work on. For example, it might be a very shy dog that might just kind of cling to the side of your leg and maybe just shake a little bit. So there may be some things that they can work with their animal, perhaps take them to the park, get them, visit different family and friends, getting them used to being around different sights and sounds and smells and see how they do. But then again, you also need to realize that if they aren't comfortable, like people, we have our different personalities and things that that we like to do, that it may not be a good fit. There might be another type of an activity that might be more appropriate for your dog.
Makes sense. Need to break for just a moment here to let everyone know that today's Good Dog episode is brought to you by Audible.com, the leading provider in spoken word entertainment. Personally, I have downloaded audiobooks from Audible and had a great user experience. Audible has over 35,000 titles to download and playback anywhere, just like you download Good Dog. Log on to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter to get a free audiobook download of your choice when you sign up today. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter for your free audiobook. Golf Smarter, by the way, is one of our podcast titles, not to confuse you or anything. In fact, I invite everyone to go to smarterpodcasts.com and check out all of our smarter podcasts. Now, jumping back to our conversation here about therapy dogs. So, is it important, really, for therapy dogs to be comfortable around other animals? I know, for instance, that Lulu's fabulous with people, but she's a tiny little dog, and she sometimes gets frightened when there are larger dogs around. So I think that might be not the greatest trait for a therapy dog.
It really, what we look for is that, you know, part of our evaluation is to see how, you know, the dog will do around a neutral dog. So, you know, particularly if it's a small dog, you know, the handlers can hold their dog, you know, when they're meeting a neutral dog. And the reason why we want to make sure that they are comfortable, that they're not going to leap, if it's a small dog, they're not going to leap out of your arms, or they're not going to be, if they're not a small dog, but they're not going to be, you know, aggressive or lunge at the other animal, other dog, is that you never know if you're going into a facility, if you're going to meet, you know, there might be resident animals there. There might be, you might come in contact with a service animal or another visiting volunteer and their animal. So you really want to make sure that your dog is very comfortable should they happen to have like a meet and greet with another dog at a facility.
Do you train all your pet partner volunteers, or do you sometimes just meet a dog and his or her owner and then kind of approve them for the program?
We actually have, you know, some steps that individuals need to take, and that would be, number one, that they would need to take the Pet Partners Team training course, and that can either be done via home study or in an in-person workshop. And that particular workshop is for the handler. In that course, there are various topics that we cover, like how to identify stress in my animal, how do I know what type of a setting is going to be a good fit for my animal. There's some other type of activities that when you complete the training that you can work with your animal on. And then we have our evaluation, where the animal handler are evaluated by a Delta licensed evaluator.
And what percentage of animals get approved, would you say?
I would say probably if we have like 10 at the evaluation, it would be around six or seven.
All right. So that's pretty good. That's pretty good. And then what is the nature of the commitment? Say Lulu and I decide that we want to volunteer with Delta Society. What are we committing to?
One of the things that for Delta's program is that really it's up to the individual on how often they can visit. Particularly, you know, each facility is going to be different that you're going to encounter. So we really like to, that's really up to the individual on how often that they are going to be able to visit. We have a wide range of individuals that are either, you know, students or seniors that may have more time. There's others that work full-time. So we really want to be able to be flexible and have an individual work with a facility that's going to meet both their needs.
So is there any minimum number of hours or minimum number of visits, like one a month or something?
Delta doesn't really require that. I mean, a certain amount, but I would say a minimum would be like once a month. For those that may have more of a tight schedule.
Sure. And Diane, do you tend to go back to the same facilities over and over again, giving the patients an opportunity to bond with your dog in particular? Or is it more about, you know, trying to go to as many different facilities as possible?
For the majority of our volunteers, speaking for our volunteers, they tend to visit the same facilities so that way that they do you know, end up, you know, having a relationship or, like you say, a stronger bond with particular residents. And that really is geared towards more of your, you know, nursing homes, assisted living type of facilities.
And does Delta have chapters in various parts of the United States, or are you just in Washington State?
We have, well, we're a national, international organization, so we have pet partners in virtually every state. But we also have our affiliate groups, which is a group of pet partners from a particular city that get together, and then they, you know, have affiliated with Delta. So individuals that like more of that group-type setting, we can certainly put individuals in touch with our affiliate groups.
When pet partners go on these visits to various hospitals and hospice, schools, things like that, are they going in a group or are they going just themselves and their pet?
It really depends on the individual. We have many pet partners that like to, you know, visit on their own. And if there isn't a facility that's close by, then they can certainly contact Delta and we can put them in touch with a facility that's looking for a team to visit. Others that are part of a group, sometimes they do go and visit a facility as a group, some of those reading programs, or it might even be like at a assisted living facility where they may have some of the residents sitting in the activity room in a circle, and they might have a couple of teams visiting that group in that type of a setting.
Given that Delta Society started in terms of doing the research on the benefits to human health of the pet partner or the partnership with pets, what are some of the health benefits of pets and dogs in particular, because that's our focus?
Well, some of the things that the animals can actually improve is, I mean, anything from, you know, there's the calming effects, there's brightening of the mood and increased motivation when an animal is present during treatment. Participants in studies have shown improvement in self-esteem, psychological well-being, and even community integration.
It's quite a lot. So I'm sure that there are facilities to which you bring pets where there are people who are either frightened or want nothing to do with them. How do you handle that?
Well, how we handle that particularly is that with facilities, it's up to the facility to identify which patients, residents, clients that want to receive a visit, you know, to identify which patients may have a phobia, may have allergies, and then we work with the facility at their direction on which patients and clients would like to receive a visit. There have been some instances where an individual pet partner has been asked to help under the direction of either a counselor, where a child had been bitten by a dog, and that they want to be able to help the child move through that trauma so that they're not going to have, that they're going to be able to get over that obstacle, you know.
Sure. Let's give people some information on how they can become involved or at least find out about a Delta Society chapter in their area.
Sure. They can certainly contact our direct line at 425-679-5500, or they could certainly just go right to our website, and that's www.deltasociety.org. And if you click on volunteer, it will have all the information on how you can get started and how you can connect with others throughout the United States or in your own community.
Fabulous. Diane Bell, thanks so much for joining us on Good Dog Today.
Great. Well, thank you for having us, Joanne. Really appreciate it.